Time to catch up on the Molloy Drive Show. Okay, Australia, you know him. You can count on him.
I'm a 50-50 chance.
You love him.
Hello. Go to the top shelf, ladies.
And now, it's his show.
Here we go, people.
This is Molloy.
Welcome to the big Tuesday edition of Molloy. Hello, Dave.
G'day, Mickey. Jam-packed show today.
It is indeed. Denise Scott joins us. Always a live
wire.
She's
moved
out of home. I know. We'll get to the bottom of that. She's in an Airbnb.
Yeah.
With her husband, what could go wrong? All that coming up. Huge news in sport. We'll get the latest Ash Barty update well as talking about Olympic swimmers in Australia and their history of, well,
there's a
decadence.
Pattern, isn't there?
There is a pattern swimmers. Of behaviour, yeah. And we'll get to the bottom of that. Awkward moments. Oh. I've been watching daytime TV.
Yeah.
Yes, I work bloody hard.
Yeah.
But I've seen a couple of quotes today I've got to share with you and a couple from the political arena that you might enjoy too, Dave. Anything else that springs to mind?
All that, song with Sprat, and a whole lot more. It is a big day ahead.
For the drive home, this is Molloy.
Hey, we're going to break with tradition at the start of today's show where we normally hop into it at a million miles an hour, but there's something I want to talk about before we get there, and it was a really important story. It is an important story, and an incredible interview last night on The Project by Lisa Wilkinson, who did an amazing job speaking to one of the most impressive young women I've spoken to, who basically... told a harrowing story of alleged sexual assault, rape, that happened in a minister's office, in our seat of government at Parliament House. It was hard to listen to at some stages, but I'm going to play a little grab of Lisa with Brittany Higgins.
So once you passed through security, where did you go?
We went up the lift into Minister Reynolds' suite. I remember that he was taking a really long time with something. And so it got to the point where I don't know if he guided me there or if I went there myself, but I ended up laying down and passing out on the minister's couch.
So what's the next thing that you remember happening?
The first thing that sort of awoke me was I was in a pain. My leg was kind of being crushed. The senior staffer was on top of me. He was... clearly almost finished.
Sorry, was there sexual intercourse going on?
Yeah, I woke up mid-rape, essentially.
Okay, that's pretty hard to listen to. It's a huge story. It was broken yesterday by the political editor for news.com.au, Samantha Maiden. Samantha, it's been a big 24 hours. The story still seems to be unfolding. Before we get into it, can you tell us a little bit about Brittany Higgins and how you came to meet her?
Yeah, so Brittany Higgins was a young Liberal Party staffer. She was from the Gold Coast, and she came to work in Parliament House, I think, in 2018. She was only a couple of weeks into a new job with the then Defence Industry Minister, Linda Reynolds, when basically she went out for Friday night drinks with a whole bunch of people who worked around Parliament House, and that's the night where the incident happened. I think most people in the press gallery around Parliament House know Brittany as she's sort of renowned as a very kind person and someone who's very good at her job, very diligent, very hardworking, and she's really respected. And so I think for her to come forward with this story has actually really knocked a lot of people around, and it is having a really big impact.
It has indeed, and she referred to it as her dream job, and you could see how emotional she was, not only about the events that had occurred, but at the cost at which this is all going to come to her and a lifelong dream and everything, as she stated, that she worked her life to achieve. Where are we at the moment? What has been the response from the government in relation to your article, of course, and then last night's interview?
Well, the Prime Minister has announced just this morning that he will essentially hold an inquiry into the workplace culture at Parliament House. And let's not forget, this is in a context of a whole range of allegations. I mean, Brittany Higgins is actually the third Liberal staffer to come out and allege she was sexually assaulted by a man from the Liberal Party or men in the Liberal Party. But nobody pretends it's a problem that is, wholly and solely you know, situated in the Liberal Party. It's an issue that arises, you know, in lots of workplaces. So he's going to do that. He has issued her a personal apology, and today in the defence minister also, Linda Reynolds, has offered an unreserved apology in the Senate. Brittany Higgins is calling for some sort of independent body to be set up so people can take complaints or seek advice on issues like this. Parliament's a weird place because there's no HR. Right. And the way that it sort of works, if you work in a minister's office, is every time they get promoted or demoted or there's an election, you kind of got no guarantee of ongoing employment. So a lot of these workers feel very vulnerable and they feel that they can't rock the boat.
So I think we could describe the response initially as inadequate, and it was treated, as Brittany herself said, more as a political exercise that needed to be fixed rather than an alleged criminal assault. Is that fair?
Well, that's the way she perceives it. I mean, obviously the Prime Minister says that the people around her at the time tried to do their best. They were trying to walk a line between her privacy, the fact that she had to lead any decision to go to the police. She did go to the police, right? Mm. But she also did it in a context where, you know, the Prime Minister was calling an election. There was a lot of pressure on her of whether she was going to leave, go back to the Gold Coast to kind of deal with the fallout, or whether she wanted to stay on board. She ultimately chose that. So she felt that she needed to choose between her job and making this complaint, that she couldn't blow the show up before an election. And she even acknowledges that in a letter to police asking them to suspend the investigation into the allegations. So, you know, that's her perception. I think other people say, well, look, we tried to help, but we didn't really know how. Whatever the answer is, I mean, I think a lot of people were shocked, and the government now accepts it was completely inappropriate that the Defence Minister, Linda Reynolds, called her to a formal employment meeting about the incident in the room that it occurred. So she's literally sitting in the room where she says she was raped, having to try and talk about what happened. And they have apologised for that. But I think it's not just about what happened at the time, it's in the aftermath. People just kind of had that attitude of, oh, well, if you want to go to the police, that's your bag, that's your decision, that's your problem, that's your stuff. So we don't want to hear about it.
Can I play you the comments made by the Prime Minister earlier on today?
Jenny and I spoke last night, and she said to me, you have to think about this as a father first. What would you want to happen if it were our girls?
So I've spoken to a few women in my life, and they're pretty dissatisfied with that reaction, and tend to make the comment that if you have to be told by your wife that you need to take accusations of sexual assault seriously, you're still not getting the whole idea. Is that a fair response from women in the community?
Some people have had a strong reaction to those comments, right? I don't think that he was saying that he wasn't sympathetic or he didn't think about it much until she said that. I think he was trying to situate it in terms of his discussions with Jenny. Now, if that is the case, if he didn't think about it properly until Jenny said that to him, well, thank God for Jenny, right? Yeah. You know, like I think that, and you know, look, I think some of this stuff is a generational stuff, right? Like I think older men, you know, it does sound paternal. I can understand why people are angry, but I don't think that he is a terrible person that said a terrible thing, right? He's saying, look, this is really distressing. I spoke to my wife. She looked at the video and she said, mate, you've got to do something. And to be honest, I'm kind of glad that she did, right? I don't think that means that he did not care until that moment. Yeah.
We also need to thank Brittany Higgins for coming forward, showing such bravery and honesty in her account of what happened. And I think what's upset most Australians today is to think that this is our Parliament House, that a young woman can't be safe or looked after properly inside those confines. Samantha, thanks for your time. The story is ongoing and breaking. Well done to you. And I hope there'll be a follow-up to everyone's satisfaction soon.
All right. Thanks a lot.
News.com.au to follow Samantha's work as well. This is Malloy, Triple M.
Get with the program, Toots. This is Malloy.
Coming up, some awkward TV moments, a lot of sport to talk about, and Denise Scott in the second hour as well.
Sounds like a riot, David.
Yes.
Hey, is Jay, I need to speak to you just quickly.
You know,
Americans drive me insane from time to time, and their culture I never quite understand. Valentine's Day has just passed. I'm watching John Oliver last night. Great show that he has. And he had this segment on bouquets available for Valentine's Day in America.
All different types of opportunities to celebrate this Valentine's Day. Like, let's go over here and take a look at this bouquet of beef sticks.
Fried chicken bouquets. They include 6 chicken tenders, mini carnations, herbs, baby's breath, and buttermilk lime dressing.
A bouquet made of Chick-fil-A nuggets and waffles.
This is a chicken wing and chicken finger bouquet.
How about a corn dog bouquet?
A bouquet of salami. Why not?
A sausage bouquet.
These are bacon bouquets.
Bouquet of ribs.
Jerky beef bouquets.
This is my beef bouquet.
The first ever Maine lobster tail bouquet.
This is a terrible idea.
This is a terrible idea. Josh said, please do not ship this. Do not put this in the mail.
Not going to be good at all.
You know, we're going to spend your Valentine's Day on the toilet.
Good Lord. So, Jay, there's a bit to unpack there. Your fascination with foods like chicken wings and stuff is great, but you don't see us putting instead of a trail of petals, like a trail of 420 pies leading up to the
sausage roll bouquet.
Is that a thing? And by the way, what is the deal with the pronunciation of the word herb as herb?
Yeah. Well, we prefer the French pronunciation. Well, you're still shackled to Mother England as part of the Commonwealth.
Jay. There's an H in the part of that.
It's herb. Imagine having a emu for dinner with herb on top.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
On an aluminum tray.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? You say that it's only an American thing. I mean,
Americans and food. That just gross me out.
But Mick, Australia has got a long history of food and romance.
What are you talking about?
Do I need to remind you of Schoolies and the Kebab?
Don't play this.
This couple have only known each other for a fortnight. Now they're engaged.
This is serious. This is serious. She's my baby girl forever. And I've asked her to be the thing that I cherish the most for life.
He got down on one knee while she was stuffing her face with a kebab. And it was so beautiful.
So beautiful.
Yeah. Point taken. All right, you win this round. Who wants a bouquet of chicken wings? That's all
Me?
I'm saying.
I do.
Feeling a bit peckish myself.
Deliver one here.
And my tummy's rumbling.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy. Mick Malloy's Sports
Thank
Rap.
You. It is. Just check.
Who can't get narrowly. She's ensconced at the tennis.
That's right. She's busy.
Watching Ash Barty march to the finals. Well, how good is she?
So pumped.
In the soft part of the draw, she won't face any action till the granny if she gets there.
Go, Ash.
A great Tiger supporter.
Is that what, yeah?
It's really important.
Right.
I think it makes her.
I would have thought Wimbledon.
But we're not here to talk
it.
About okay. her today. We're here to talk about another emerging Aussie athlete who's going to be a star, Oliver Hoare.
Go on.
Like everyone out there, you don't know what that name is. Mm. I'm telling you who it is. He is now the fastest ever. Oh, well, not the fastest ever Australian, but the fastest. Well, what do you. Is it?
I don't know. You're telling the story.
I should have done it.
This is over the 1,500 metres you're talking about.
Yeah. Did Herb Elliott run 1,500 metres?
No, the Herb was. Well, we've been told by a producer he was the fastest Aussie.
Herb Elliott.
That's your contribution, is it? Herb Elliott.
I've got the story if you wanted to hear
that. That's why you're the best producer in the world.
Mm.
Is he the fastest over 1,500?
In Australia, correct. It's an Australian record.
The Australian indoor record. Thank you. That's all I ask.
Set it in New York.
The sixth fastest in history.
That's amazing.
He's 24. Yeah. Oh, get on this bloke.
Yeah.
He is now my favourite Aussie athlete since Jai Taurima.
Oh, Jumpin' Jai.
Jumpin' Jai Taurima, who you may remember got silver in the Sydney Olympics, but I loved him because he still had a fag just before and just after the long jump.
I think
he tried to have a cigarette on the podium.
You'd sort of quit. If you're an Olympian, you wouldn't be smoking. I wouldn't have thought that's
Now, I was speaking the other night to a former Australian Olympian, one of our best ever hockey players. I won't give away any names. Warnie. And he told me that he was out that night in Sydney after Jai Taurima had got accepted his gold medal.
Yeah.
And they were all at one of those clubs down on Woolloomooloo or whatever.
Sure.
And Jai Taurima walked in, still in his track gear, his spikes, the medal around his neck, and a ciggy in his mouth.
Why wouldn't you? Show off, mate. Look what you've done.
I could have been an athlete. I could have gone to the Institute of Sport if that's all you needed to do. Let's have a listen to Oliver Hoare breaking the Aussie record.
Oliver Hoare, the 24-year-old Australian, comes home across the line. 3:32.36. Wow! That makes him about the seventh fastest in history at this distance. That is an Australian motoring record.
Wow.
Amazing.
Step aside, Cliffy Young. Yeah. You're no longer like the champion of the long distance. 1,500, that's four laps.
Yeah.
Man.
It's massive. Why would you,
tell me, why would you choose that event? You choose something like those lazy Jamaicans do. 100 metres, 200 metres,
and then you're done.
Then you're done.
You're cooked, back to the village for a bit of...
Didn't you famously walk a huge amount of steps one day?
43 steps.
Oh,
3 minutes and 32 seconds.
Now, why can't I get into the Australian Institute of Sport?
That's a joke, though. You
and by the way, this
steps.
Was done on the same day, 19 years to the day that Stephen Bradbury won his gold at Vancouver.
Really?
It wasn't Vancouver, was it? Was it?
Yeah, Salt Lake City it was, yeah.
No, Salt Lake City. No, that's right. I ran into him just before I got kicked out of Vancouver.
Okay.
And... you know what, Stephen Bradbury? Like I know he's kind of gone into the book as a bit of a comical win. But it's still a good win. And if you speak to him, he employed those tactics. He said, "I'll just wait for everyone else to hit carnage."
Worked.
If you ever get the chance, have a look. Do you know he nearly died?
Yeah, we had him on the show. I remember talking about it.
He has got about 900,000 stitches on his body from cut up in a
super dangerous.
Wow.
In a ice skating incident, which reminds me of the one I had in the Frankston indoor rink. Wait, Frankston was pretty tough. On the Frankston indoor rink, on the ice skating rink, the minute you hit the ground, you had to form a fist or someone would try and cut your fingers off.
Didn't you, for the front bar, crash into a rail or something or other? You did some sort of stunt on TV that you winged about for a bit.
I was speed skiing. And I now... And you know what? I'd sue the production company if I didn't own it. Hey, when we come back, guys, I want to talk about awkward moments.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've got a few.
All right.
I'm watching telly.
Mick's been watching morning TV, so strap yourself in.
Shut up. We're in lockdown. We're in lockdown, Dave.
All right, this is
Molloy. Hold on, Oliver Hoare.
For the drive home, this is Molloy. An
awkward moment.
Awkward moments.
Okay. Yeah, all awkward moments. Yeah. So awkward for me because I was flipping around on breakfast,
Breakfast TV. Yeah, you got your Today Show and Sunrise and ABC
as a company man, I was watching Today Show, actually. No, I wasn't doing the right thing.
The opposition. Right.
Whitney, I believe, was watching the other one. We'll get to her in just a moment. But we were looking at some... awkward comments, and you know how much I love Carl Stefanovic.
He is.
Well, I did until he cut me out of his Bucks party. I was supposed to organize his Bucks party, and then that Grant Kenny got in there. Next I know, they're whooping it up on the Sunshine
Coast. We should get Carl on the
show
soon. It's been a long time since I've had a chat with
him. Let's get Carl on the show to explain himself. Yeah. But I was listening to this awkward exchange this morning when Carl starts talking about the attire.
Oh, yeah.
Other men on the show.
Yeah, Clint Stanaway. Yeah, have a listen.
Over to you, Clint. It's good to see you back in a tight shirt, too. The jacket and white shirt yesterday didn't do anything for me. But
just for you, Carl.
Thank you, brother. You're a handsome.
My mum asked me about you and this situation you have with some of the men on our show.
Well, they're very handsome guys. You know, obviously, my personal situation is very well known. So I don't even know what you're talking about.
No, okay, I'm just going to leave you with
that. And what would be wrong with that anyway?
Nothing would be wrong with it. I'm just saying my mum said to me, what's happening with Carl? Okay.
I love blokes.
Carl. Jeez Louise.
What's going on there?
Bit hard to wake up to. What's going on?
Yeah.
I was getting beaten around. I was being rope-a-doped by Carl on the couch, duking it out with sexual politics.
Yeah.
That took a turn, didn't it?
It did.
I mean, the banter, it's like that banter, uneasy banter you often get between the sports desk.
I suppose
and
when you're on live TV, you've got a lot of time to fill. There's moments you just got to, you know, just talk and talk, and those moments come up quite a bit.
I enjoyed it. They're the moments. It's why you go to order the car racing. You might see an accident.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you see the banter take a turn, all of a sudden it piques your interest. Whitney, I mentioned this to you, Whitney, and you told me you were watching Sunrise, and what did you hear?
I was watching Sunrise and they were doing a review on this documentary called Some Kind of Heaven. And it's basically a documentary that explores an older people's village. It's like Disneyland for seniors, and they get up to no good and they start saying that there's talks that there's swingers within this community.
Go on.
And then Koshy threw to this.
Okay.
Some Kind of Heaven premiered at the Sundance Film Festival. Once you've heard that movie Cocoon, actually.
Looks like my sort of place.
We need to create one on the Gold Coast, maybe.
Yeah. Can imagine Lyd giving me a good whipping. No, not like that.
That wasn't even out of context.
Jeez Louise, you've taken me to a dark place, Koshy. Now all I'm doing is imagining him hosting Sunrise in a gimp mask. If you're going to whip anyone, whip the cash cow. That's all I'm saying. That's homoerotic as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Then I tune in to the tennis. Watching now. I'm back on Nine and I'm watching the tennis. And I hear this exchange when a reporter asks Matteo Berrettini.
Yeah.
I think I might have put an accidental tit in there. Is it?
No, that's you're right.
Berrettini? Can I buy a vowel? How his match went and what followed was this awkward exchange.
So, Matteo, to start off with, can you talk us through your match and how you were feeling on the court today?
Nothing. I pulled out. I have a problem on my abs.
Okay, that could also be in our one job segment, which we do occasionally. Yeah. Yeah. You got one job.
Yeah, get your facts right.
Which is get your facts right. Yeah. It takes me back to the famous one, which was the French Open 2014. Yeah. Nicolas Mahut was asked this clanger. Again, you've got one job as a tennis reporter.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. I lost.
You lost?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So what happened out there?
Are you serious?
No.
Did you watch the match?
No, I didn't. I was told that you won. I'm sorry.
Question en français, s'il vous plaît.
All right, we get the idea. Hey, we might have one a little later in the program. I've got one from Pauline Hanson, and I'm not sure whether it's a similar style clanger.
All right.
But it needs a bit of concentration.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to unpack that shortly.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Malloy.
Denise Scott had to move out of house, and we'll find out why. She's coming up after the news soon on Malloy.
One of the funniest ladies in Australia, as is Pauline Hanson from
Pauline
time
Hanson.
To time. Whether you care for politics or you don't, I'm not making a judgment, but sometimes she trips herself up.
Yeah.
And when it comes to making a point, it can get confused. Jay, you brought something to my attention, which I'm still trying to decode.
There is a lot going on here, Mick. This is Pauline Hanson on Sky News speaking to Paul Murray last night.
So they're saying if you're making programs in Australia, you have to have at least 50% that are women, and then part of that has to be made up with diversity in different ones. And you're talking about the police force as well. What is a person's sexual orientation, whether they're lesbian, gay, trans, bisexual, transsexual, whatever it is, and queer? No one's been able to tell me what queer is yet. So, all these plus, plus, plus. If you watch Bridgerton, half the people in it are actually black. And you have all these barons and earls and everyone who are actually black. I don't think that was the case in the early 1800s. But is this where we're headed to actually show these programs that is really distorting history to satisfy people?
Wow. She better not go see Hamilton.
That's right.
Listen,
where to even begin?
Where do you want to start? Firstly, can't get the image of Pauline Hanson watching Bridgerton.
Or Bridgerton.
Bridgerton.
Bridgerton. Out of my mind. How would she have gone with F5? A bit of tampering in the desk.
Okay.
What's going on there?
Oh, boy.
And what's her beef with Bridgerton? What was her beef with Bridgerton?
Well, the last time I checked, Bridgerton is actually a work of fiction. It's not historically.
Factual.
I mean, it's a Netflix series that is, it's made up.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know what she's on about.
Yeah. Well, don't get started on the queer either. She hasn't been able to decipher that. That is one of those, they'll be decoding that. Can someone put that statement up on Blocks?
Yeah.
And get back to me
with
the cliff notes.
Work it out.
So I can look at it and work out what the hell the point was she was trying to make. Speaking of politicians making bold statements and possibly awkward ones. Greg Hunt's at it again.
Oh.
So, you know, yesterday he made this statement.
The eagle has landed. I am pleased to be able to tell Australians that shortly after midday, the first shipment of Pfizer vaccines arrived in Australia.
All right, they well done. Down. Good work, everybody. And you think, we pointed out yesterday that, you know, you shouldn't be borrowing phrases from other people. Well, he's at it again.
What?
He's done it again today. Have a listen to him at today's press conference.
Thank you very much, Prime Minister, Professor Skerritt. AstraZeneca is cleared for liftoff.
Oh, God.
And what I can say is that the TGA has approved the AstraZeneca vaccine for use in Australia.
Wow.
Yeah.
He loves an Apollo 11 reference, doesn't he?
I'm waiting for the new coronavirus figures to come out. Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, that's right. That's one small step for man.
When does it end? What's he going to do? Come out tomorrow in a space suit? What's he going to do? Shoot a monkey into the atmosphere? I don't know what he's up to, Greg. But we said to him, if you're going to borrow, you know, phrases from movies and from popular culture, you get them right. Like, we suggested he should use this one yesterday.
All right.
That would be better from your health minister. Yeah. Or this one.
It's precious.
To deter people from taking the injections. On the basis of today's cleared for liftoff, we've got a couple of more that if he really wants to get people's attention, which is what I think he's trying to do, garner interest, pull people in to listen to what he's saying. Mm. Here's one he could come out with.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Now I'd like to throw to the Prime Minister.
That's frightening.
Well, here's one I always like. This will get their attention.
All right.
Enough is enough. I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane. Everybody strap in.
About to open the window. Just before he crosses the floor.
All right, well, the good news is the vaccines are here, so the eagle has landed and ready to clear for takeoff.
The vaccines are here.
All right, up next, hey, the Song Whisperer. This is Malloy, Triple M.
This is Malloy.
So they're saying if you're making programs in Australia, you have to have at least 50% that are women, and then part of that has to be made up with diversity in the different ones. And you're talking about the police force as well. What is a person's sexual orientation, whether they're lesbian, gay, trans, bisexual, transsexual, whatever it is, and queer? Now, no one's been able to tell me what queer is yet. So, you know, all these plus, plus, plus. If you watch Bridgerton, half the people in it are actually black. And you have all these barons and earls and everyone who are actually black. I don't think that was the case in the early 1800s. But is this where we're headed to actually show these programs that is really distorting history to satisfy people?
Yeah, because I go to Foxtel for history lessons. But... Well, what's her beef? Whitney, you watch, what is it called? Edgerton.
No, Bridgerton.
Bridgerton.
Or Bridgerton is a...
Oh, that's a story about the Edgerton family.
Triple M's M.
Oh, Joel. Yeah, okay.
Bridgerton?
Yeah.
So yes. What's her beef? Do you say the Queen's black?
Yeah, the Queen is black in Bridgerton.
Right.
So I don't know how she handled that.
Well, not well. Hence the psycho babble.
Which episode did they get sort of steamy with?
At the end of episode five.
Dave, you're preoccupied with the hanky-panky between the sheets. What happened in episode five, Whitney? What happened?
I can't give it away. But basically, they finally have sex. They finally have sex and it's just shot very, very well.
It's just a gangbang from then on.
Yeah, from then on there's some great scenes.
In a row.
Right. There's a staircase scene in particular.
Go on.
Wait for that one.
Tell me about the staircase sex.
That's
of interest to me. I was involved in some of that recently. during it, I was in the chair that goes up the side of the wall.
Yuck.
I had to conserve my energy.
Did you?
For what?
All right, too much. Hey, quick, Song Whisperer.
All right.
Jay, the Song Whisperer.
Sorry, I was just making a note of the Nick in the staircase chair having sex for Maddie in the Week in Review.
What about one of those rotating staircases? They'd be harder, wouldn't they? Like is it just your standard staircase, your proscenium arch? Or is it like, you know, a circular staircase? Because that would hurt.
It was standard.
That'd put your back out.
It was standard and roomy.
Okay.
Proscenium, did you say?
Yeah. Oh, it's a theatre term, David. Okay. You wouldn't know. You're
yeah, absolutely right. I'll Google that one.
Song Whisperer.
Hey,
please.
You betcha. All right, this guy is traveling across continents. He meets eccentric characters along the way. They feed him and make the smallest of small talk. Hey, where are you from?
Oh, is that it?
Short and sharp.
Oh. Short and sharp. They feed him. Yeah. Meatloaf? Is it Meatloaf? Dave, come on. Surely you've got
I was thinking like traveling, like maybe Creedence, traveling band.
It is not Meatloaf, and it is not Creedence.
Good old Creedence Clearwater Revival, eh? Yeah, yeah, yeah. What about what about the theme from 9 1/2 weeks? Because that was that was a bit of food involved there.
There's some staircase scenes in that, I think, as well.
That'd be the fridge scene. I put the imagine if you're coming down the stairs and you had stairway sex, went to the fridge, had the fridge sex from 9 1/2 weeks, and then I don't know. I've already used my 43 steps.
This is Malloy. To gather back around your wireless people, here comes the big second hour of Malloy.
And it's going to be a cracker, make no mistake. Denise Scott, Denise Scott, swings by to have a chat. I can't wait to hear about all her upcoming shows. Apparently, she's ringing in from lockdown in an Airbnb.
Yeah, yeah. She's on the Zoom, so we'll check
that
in with
her. That sounds like there'll be cabin fever all over it. Let me tell you about it. Plenty more to come. Hey, what? We're going to have a toilet break.
Oh, go on.
There's some stuff we need to address, including the fact that Kim Jong-un travels with a portable toilet.
Oh.
There's a mystery pooper who only does it in cars. And we're going to take a... Well, we're going to lift the lid and have a look at Tasmania's Pooseum. It's a museum.
It's a real thing?
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
Locals aren't happy.
No, I can't imagine.
Yeah, we'll I think it was opened by the poo jogger. I'm not sure. We'll have some world news.
Yep.
I'm going to get stuck into you lot because you've been sneaking around behind my back. Yeah, we'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. Let's drop in right now.
No,
the Song Whisperer.
Song Whisperer, give us your stupid synopsis again.
You betcha. This guy is traveling across continents. He meets eccentric characters along the way. They feed him and make the smallest of small talk, I should say. Mm. Where are you from?
Be confusing when you can't even get it right. Louise, where are you calling from, Louise?
Hey, I'm from Newcastle.
Oh, good on you. Big hello to all our Newcastle listeners. They'll be listening, Dave, on...
That's, of course, you'll be listening on Triple M in Newcastle, all around that great part of the world. Through 102.9 Triple M. You've got Tanya and Steve for breakfast. Of course you do.
I like Tanya. For Steve.
Oh, Steve's, he is a legend of Newcastle. He's been broadcasting there for years.
Yeah.
He's their favourite son, Steve.
Something's going on there that locals
not
aren't true, talking
Louise,
about.
Right? Steve's loved across Newcastle, isn't he?
Yeah.
They're good eggs.
He's a bit of a celebrity. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
That's right.
Has he? Have you seen him around town? Is he a big presence?
What he looks like. I only know his voice.
That's a good thing with most people who work in radio.
That is very true.
Louise, what's your guess?
I think it's Men at Work and Land Down Under.
Jesus, we might have a winner here. Yeah. That does sound like it's right on the money. She what did you say? I travelled, they fed me.
Traveling, they feed him, they make the smallest of small talk. Where are you from? Louise is correct.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Song Whisperer's got to try harder.
Oh, man.
Once again, you've been everybody picked off early.
I know.
I love it when that happens.
Yeah.
Good on you, Louise. What's she won, Dave?
You've got yourself $100. We'll get you like a little gift card that you can spend whatever you want to spend on, Louise. Whether
in the case of Brick Lane.
Oh, no, we'll put some Brick Lane in there.
No, the Brick Lane. The draft.
Give me a chance. Brick Lane, which you can grab from Dan Murphy's, by the way. So
food and beer.
You
like the IPA, Dave? You like the IPA?
I'm telling you right now, the IPA is it's a clubhouse leader at the moment in our house. We, Liz and I, both love it. It's
pale ale's popular,
delicious.
But I'm a draft man myself.
You are.
Can't go wrong.
Sort of simple,
the good people in Newcastle. Who I have performed live for and actually went on my beer tour.
You did too.
I stood in a pub and drank Brick Lane with the good people in Newcastle.
It's a great night.
And I'll tell you what, I'll go back with the draft. You watch them go Cocoa Bananas. They know a good beer in Newcastle.
Hey, well done to you, Louise. You got that. Let's play the song right now. It is Men at Work and Down Under. And joining us next is Denise Scott. This is Malloy on Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
And we love it when we check in with Denise Scott. And she joins us right now on Malloy.
It's like a royal visit.
It is,
every
isn't
time.
It?
Yes.
I'm waiting for... What? Hi, Denise. How are you?
I'm good. And as I said the other night, before Melbourne went into another lockdown, I was on stage. And as I said, I'm the Paddy Newton of Melbourne comedy. I am royalty, Mick.
I'm waiting for you and John to release a photo Megan and Harry where you're lying under a tree and your head's in John's lap and he's looking at you lovingly
Black
and you've
and
both got no shoes on.
And I'm pregnant.
You know, let's not get too far-fetched here, but yes, that would be an amazing moment. How was Valentine's Day? What did he do? Did he surprise you? What did you guys get up to?
Well, we, of course, because we live in Melbourne, there was the snap lockdown. There was...
Sure.
We did... Nothing.
Right.
In fact, currently we're in an Airbnb because our bathroom's getting fixed up. And John bought me, he said, I bought you some flowers from our garden at home. Yeah. It was one rose. One rose with yellowed motley leaves.
Wow. Seems too romantic to believe. Can I ask you this? It sounds like you live the high life. You live the jet set lifestyle. So you've had to leave your house because the plumbing's blown. And you're now in like an Airbnb.
In an Airbnb. And this is a thing that's been going on for years, Mick. It's almost caused John and I to separate on more than one occasion because our bathroom has been completely stuffed and useless for about 25 years now.
Okay, that's a little long to let go.
The problem being that we've had a clawfoot bath with a makeshift shower over the top of it that John's constructed with gaffer tape and wire. And we're now at an age, Mick, where you can't be climbing in and out of a clawfoot bath with a shower. It's a broken hip waiting to happen. Oh,
yeah. I would have thought you're at the stage now where you need one of those rails inside the shower.
Yeah.
And maybe for John, a little stool. You know the little stools you sometimes see in nursing homes?
Yeah.
Yes, I love a stool. So anyway, we've argued for years because he's insisted he needs a bath, that whatever renovation, I've insisted there isn't enough space to have a bath and a separate shower.
Okay.
We finally got an interior designer, Katrina, in, who's like a marriage counsellor.
Yes, right, okay.
She took me aside and said, you've got to compromise. Let John have his bath and we'll find you a separate shower. Well, John didn't just have a bath. He has a gigantic bath with 14 jets.
What? Oh, wow.
Yeah, this huge bath.
Like a pool bar up one end?
Yeah.
And I've got a little walk-in shower.
I see. I was imagining the two of you in a bath together at either ends of the bath, you know, maybe with a bottle of bubbly and suds everywhere, you know, just protecting your modesty.
Yeah, well, you don't know me at all if you think that I'm going to be in sharing a bubble bath. I used to, Mick.
Yeah,
of course.
But now we simply can't fit, even if it's a big bath, fitting the two of us.
I had a bubble bath once. I thought it'd be romantic. Turned out more like the bubbling hot springs of Rotorua. It wasn't... It didn't get the job done. So what about the Airbnb? Well, yeah. So describe it to us. Is this a massive... Is this like Frogmore House?
Yeah.
Is this like Megan and Harry's old residence?
Have you upgraded?
Where are you? What are you doing?
It's a tiny little flat with not much space. John and I, once again, we're back to an issue of the fact that we have got bigger as we've got older. And we've now gone from a king-size bed at home to a double.
Okay.
And you have to spoon, Mick. Wow. There's no other way we can fit in.
It's not a forced spoon.
It's a forced spoon situation. And then if we try and face one another with our knees in the middle of the bed, our ass cheeks therefore hang over the side of the bed, it's... Right. And you hang on for dear life.
And you know what? If you get any bigger, it'll be called ladling.
I like it, Mick.
Let's go to bed for a quick ladle, honey. Hey, I want to get to the bottom of this. We're going to take a quick break or we're going to a song, Dave. What are we doing?
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with all the details on Denise's shows as well, which are coming
up. I want to
up.
Hear about the Chicksville 500. This sounds like the best show ever.
All right, Denise Scott's with us. More with Denise right after this.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
It is Mick Malloy. It's Denise Scott. By the way, a bunch of shows coming all around Australia. Denise and Judith shows at the Malthouse Theatre in Melbourne. They're all sold out. Wow. Nath Valvo, who we had on the show just last week, who's a great ripper. Fella. We love him. You're doing a show with him as well. That's in Currumbin, May 29. And then the Chicksal 500 with Cal Wilson, Geraldine Hickey and Lizzie Hu. That's
top
part
shelf.
Of the Adelaide Fringe Festival, March 1.
How did you
March
go in Currumbin? Haven't you already done one in Currumbin?
No, we couldn't because of whatever stage we were at then. I can't remember. It was not lockdown. It was that we had to get the COVID,
Is Currumbin ready? Is Currumbin ready for you and Nath Valvo? No. I'm not sure they are.
Well, I think it's all for the best that it got postponed. When we go back, I reckon we'll be in a venue double the size. Okay. They'll have revved up. They'll have waited that.
They will have waited with bated breath, no doubt. Tell us about the Chicksal 500. Yeah, that's awesome. My favourite name for a show this year, especially at the Adelaide Fringe, yeah, where historically the Clipsal used to go.
Thank you very much, because when it was suggested, management centred around, we've come up with this name, Chicksal 500. I didn't have a clue what the reference was, what it was about. I thought it was pathetic. I didn't say anything, Mick. I'm just one of those agreeable people. I said, good, yeah, sounds great, and then found out it was everyone's favourite name, something to do with car racing, apparently. But, Mick, what I want to tell you,
yes,
because I forgot to tell you last time I was there.
Oh, yes.
Seeing you in the flesh. Mm. Before lockdown, I got to do a gig in Darwin.
Yes.
Just a couple of weeks ago. I was talking to you about that, dancing.
We're talking about that, the convention centre. What a great room to play.
Anyway, there was this kid in the front row at the convention centre, 2,500 people, 15-year-old kid, front row. I chatted to him and I thought I'd bring out some old shtick I used to do about my son. And the joke goes, do you know what my son was addicted to when he was 14?
Right.
True story, Mick.
Yep.
Lawn bowls.
Oh, great.
Yeah, yeah. It sort of gets a laugh. And then I say, which was terrible as a parent, because lawn bowls has the highest death rate of any sport. There's your gag, Mick. It's the gag.
Okay, we're away. What's the problem?
Not a great gag, but it's a gag. I thought, well, I'll play this. It'll sound like I'm just improvising with this kid.
Yeah.
So there's this kid, 15 years old. I said, do you know what my son was addicted to when he was 14? And honestly, Mick, he wasn't trying to get a laugh or anything. He just paused and he went, wanking? So he was sitting there next to his mother. He's 2,500 local residents of Darwin. And I think he'd given away quite a story about himself.
At least he didn't do it in a public place where it could blow up in his face. What is wrong with you? You're totally responsible. You know what talking to the audience is. It's, oh, look at that silly jumper. Or who cuts your hair? Not tell us something personal about your adolescent life and masturbation. I mean, what have you done?
Well, I didn't intend it. I was just going to get to my daggy lawn bowls joke. That was as far as I was going to go.
Well, that guy's seen his last comedy gig. He won't be putting his hand up for any more audience participation. Or sitting in the front 10 rows, I imagine.
Or possibly even going out ever again in Darwin.
I like lawn bowls. Did you lawn bowl yourself?
No, I've had a crack at it once, but no, I've never. Yeah. But my son, Geordie, who's 36 now, absolutely went nuts for it when he was 14.
Yep.
And it must have been around the year 2000 with that, because he was going to go to the Commonwealth Games.
Yep, really?
Yep. Wow.
And then he became a muso.
Well, it's either or. It's a close one.
Yeah.
Do you know what I learnt? In all my time on the lawn bowl circuit, I learnt one thing. It's not like golf. You can't chuck your balls into the crowd after the game. It's all I know. It can end very badly. Give us those dates again, Dave.
All right, you got it. It is, the Malthouse Theatre in Melbourne sold out coming up this weekend. But
sold out everywhere.
Yeah, I know. But we're talking Nath Valvo at Currumbin. That's the Sound Lounge. Tickets at comedy.com.au. That's May 29. Our listeners on the Gold Coast. Check that out. And then, of course, Adelaide Fringe, the Chicksal 500, the Garden of Unearthly Delights.
Tell us who's on that bill, because that is a top-shelf lineup.
It's Denise, Cal Wilson, Geraldine Hickey and Lizzie Hu.
And just out of interest, Dave, what was your hobby when you were 14 years old?
Okay,
don't answer that question. We got to go.
Thank you.
Well done, Denise. Denise
Good
Scott
on you,
joining
Denise.
Us.
Always a pleasure.
Is Malloy on Triple M.
The the drive home, this is Malloy.
And it's time for this.
We'd like to apologise in advance for the following segment, but occasionally we do have to go there. Time for some toilet humour.
Oh, righto.
Look.
Yeah.
It's my origins. I'm going back to where I all began, which is a little bit of toilet humour. Yeah. But this is a harness to big world issues,
sure.
If I can say. Uh-huh. Let's start with Kim Jong-un.
Okay.
Did you or did you not know that whenever he travels to a conference or travels away from home,
yeah.
He takes his own, like, portaloo.
Why?
Because he doesn't want to poo in any other toilets because he's afraid people will go through his...
sample.
You know, bag it up like an owner of a dachshund or something. You might follow him around and collect it.
Yeah.
Have a listen to the report.
Okay.
Kim reportedly always travels with his own portable lavatory to prevent spies from investigating his waste to glean information about his health.
No thanks.
Lucky he doesn't have one of those smart toilets that the Japanese have invented,
actually
diagnoses your stools and gives you a readout. Yeah. I used one?
You did, yeah. This is the report.
Hello, Michael. I do love the smell of burrito in the morning.
Ugh.
However, I would suggest seeing a doctor immediately.
Surprised you're not coughing. I mean, why do you take your own toilet? Is that just the... Is that just the highest? Because I know who's the Formula One champion, Hamilton.
Yeah, right, Lewis Hamilton. Right,
Lewis Hamilton has got a rule on his private jet that no one's allowed to use his toot.
Is that right?
That's right. Why? You're just not allowed to. So I don't know.
I mean, there are some people who feel like they can't go do your number twos at certain places because it's
We all know how Jane Kennedy felt about.
That's right.
These issues, but that's you right. can't be taking your own toilet like rocking up to a party and just popping up to a barbecue and putting your portaloo out the back and saying that's for me. It's for no one else. No, Hamilton. Just now, my Hamilton used to have it, and he must have been a bad experience. Someone at some stages, I don't know, oxygen masks have dropped from the ceiling and he's gone, right, you can't be doing that.
No.
I'd be more worried about people working out what I read on the toilet. Am I texting?
Yep. Oh, people take their devices.
Am I on it right now?
Oh, you're not.
Who knows? Oh. We're all in lockdown, people. Cool. Hey, can we go to the other one? Now, we thought, we haven't heard from the poo jogger.
It's been a long time.
It? Yeah,
yeah.
Been a long time. In fact, I'm referring to it now as a cold case. Because imagine being a cold case detective and getting that one.
No.
You imagine going, all right, we've got any cases here that haven't been cleared up. Yep, have a look at this file. Jesus.
No one wants to follow up.
Poor old Roxy Jacenko.
Yeah. Nah.
So there was the poo jogger in New South Wales running around and just snapping one off, usually out the front of Roxy's house.
That's right.
And then after a while has just disappeared without trace.
Nothing.
Well, could be back and may have graduated from jogging to driving.
What?
Have a listen to this report from overseas Detroit.
Oh, okay. Take a listen.
Chris Phillips manages Friendly Auto. He and his employees are in shock after a man relieved himself inside a customer's minivan.
I've been with this company 20 years and never ever seen anything like this before.
Warren police were called to review the footage. The same suspect went to Twin Tire just a mile away and did it again. Phillips says they have new protocols in place.
Last thing we want is customers to feel like this is something that we have caused when it's ignorance on behalf of somebody else.
Do we?
Wow. He's a serial offender. He's going from ultra tune to ultra tune. He's just dropping the kids off on the front seat.
I told you when I worked at Meyer in Ballarat, my first job was the fitting room attendant, and so you'd hand your customers their tags to take in. So they had three garments, you'd give them a number three, and so you knew when they came out, they'd give you the number three and the three garments. But someone in the final booth thought they might, how do I put this, lay a cable. And let's just say that was my introduction to my work life as a young
15-year-old. They took it out on lay-by. No, I'm not proud of myself.
No one needs to put up with that, not as a 15-year-old kid. That's not my job description,
You can't go around. It's like the automotive equivalent of the mint on the pillow, isn't it? Is to just drop a...
No.
I can't think.
Stop it.
Imagine if the car had those seat warmers.
Yuck.
Oh, that's a hot mess.
Yeah.
The only other person I've heard of doing that, and it may have been why he's moved teams, was Dave Reynolds. Did you hear that when he was at Holden?
He did not.
Couldn't help it.
He didn't. You're making that up.
Well, never do a shoey. I think that, and I'd look, we don't have time for it now, but when we come back next time, if we ever do this again, we'll take a visit to the Pooseum in Tasmania.
It's a place. Yeah.
Forget all the other tourist attractions. This is like the Louvre for poo.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
The whole team's in here too, Mick.
Oh, the whole team. What's wrong? Yeah, sounds like a team, doesn't it?
What do you mean?
Show the definition of a team, Dave?
Yeah, that's like
all hands on deck. Everyone gets together, group chat, group huddle, all for one, one for all. We all pull in the same direction.
Yeah.
We're all like single cells in a living organism.
Yeah, Whitney, James, Jay, myself and you. Yeah, that's
so
it.
So imagine my surprise, nay, disgust.
What?
When I find out, and I mean, this is hard to say out loud because it's like being cheated on and admitting it in public.
Say it.
That you guys have got a chat group that does not involve me.
That's true.
So, and I find this out in a roundabout manner. firstly, so we have a chat group that involves all of us. Am I right, guys?
Yeah, WhatsApp group.
Correct.
Yeah.
So we get on and we discuss what might be in the show. This is a good idea. This is great. Mm. And then it turns out that I find out that you have another chat group that involves everyone except me.
Correct.
The producer group.
Okay, so question without notice. What the F has been discussed at that group? And I want a full Hansard rundown access to that. I mean, what are you doing? What's the point? What's Jay?
This is where we are discussing.
Sure,
we're discussing things that don't necessarily. We're working it out before we bring it to you, Mick.
Yeah.
So we're going through some things. I mean, we could put you in there, and then you could receive.
So I'm like a sun king or something.
Yeah, but I mean, like this message from Whitney at 10:30 this morning is a picture from the Midland Express regional newspaper, and it's a tombstone for Fanny Finch, one of the first women to vote in Victoria. Would you have liked to have read that?
And I mean, you kept that from me.
It's pretty fascinating.
We could have led with that.
Fanny Finch.
I would have cleared the decks. I would have taken callers on Fanny Finch.
Here's another one. And
what year did she die?
Fanny Finch died in the 1800s, Mick.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
She also, according to her tombstone,
how many petticoats did she wear?
Here's something for you, Mick. She pushed a wheelbarrow from Melbourne to Forest Creek.
Oh, man.
That's on her tombstone.
Yeah, she pushed her tombstone to Forest Creek, died. Then they dug a hole, put the dirt in the wheelbarrow, they put the dirt back on top of her, and then put the...
Yeah,
she and sounds great. She would have been a catch in the 1800s.
Would have been fantastic. Well, then Whitney followed that up at 10:35 with a message saying, they're doing tours of that cemetery. Might have to check it out. Ha ha. I mean, these are the types of things you're missing out on.
Firstly, I'm surprised you're all up so early.
I mean, we get
10:30. Who does that?
We also had this.
What else was discussed?
11:31, FYI, also from Whitney. I'm having computer issues. I'm on the phone to IT now. She then included a screenshot of her message to IT where she described her computer as behaving weirdly.
You don't need to be a
customer. Jay.
With a message to James, I thought you would like this. That's how you talk to IT guys, yeah? James then responded with, the old LIBW fault.
What the hell?
Whitney responds to that. What the hell is LIBW? James came back to her. Laptop is behaving weirdly. Whitney, oh, ha ha.
So, and this goes on without me. Whitney, firstly, you seem to be the only one doing any work on that.
Thank you. So, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Secondly, if you have any technical difficulties, you just call me.
Of course, I didn't think.
I'll boot up, you call me, and I will help you out.
It's interesting you say that because we had a few technical issues. Was it Monday, James? I think earlier. You were trying to connect your computer to the radio station.
I'll sue you.
Take a listen.
Mix Tech Support. Just Mick with James.
Is there no better system than this?
I'll look for a better system. But
well, no, I just don't want to have to listen to everything before I decide to keep it or throw it. Can I tell how much memory I've got left now?
See how it says, so you've got 633.
Is that a lot?
It's not a lot. You want to see about 1 GB on the right-hand side when you're in the clear. 1 GB.
Gigabyte. Never a word of that.
Mix Tech Support. Just Mick with James.
Yeah. I think I've established myself as pretty special in this field.
Yeah.
Real special. One way to think of it.
Who taped that?
I did. Okay, so James was helping you delete audio files off of your phone.
Yeah.
And
I wouldn't allow him to do it.
No.
I said, you're not getting my phone because all the stuff I wanted to delete will have you in the fetal position in the corner.
No, he'll never come back.
Innocent young child.
Mm. So I just opened up the voice memo function on my phone and started recording because I thought, surely this is going to end up somewhere worthwhile.
So you know that's illegal, don't you?
I think it is.
And then we've just broadcast it, which is actually a breach of the codes as well.
It's a breach of the code. Yeah. Yep. You'll be working dusk till dawn. For the next 10 years.
With Luke Boner.
He needs a producer.
All right. We're done here. Going to wrap this one up right after Talking Heads now.
Really
upset. And she was.
Really disappointing.
This is Malloy on Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Who's on tomorrow, Dave?
Ben Elton will be on the show tomorrow. That's huge.
So you'll be duking it out with two of the greats. Comedy greats.
Me,
giant minds of comedy.
Ben together.
Two of the biggest.
What do
on
I wear?
The comedy
do
landscape. I, yeah. Me
how do
and
I
Ben.
Behave?
Ben and me.
All right.
Hey, I'll be sleeping in, of course, and then getting up to watch the breakfast shows because I'm addicted now after what I heard this morning. Firstly, on today, how's this awkward exchange with Carl in relation to a sports reporter shirt?
Over to you, Clint. It's good to see you back in a tight shirt too. The jacket and white shirt yesterday didn't do anything for me. But
just for you, Carl.
Thank you, brother.
My mum asked me about you and this situation you have with some of the men on our show.
Well, they're very handsome guys. You know, obviously my personal situation is very well known. So I don't even know what you're talking about.
No, okay, I'm just going to leave you
and
with that.
And what would be wrong with that anyway?
Nothing would be wrong with it. I'm just saying my mum said to me, what's happening with Carl? Okay.
I love blokes.
Jeez.
Carl.
And, of course, over the other side on Sunrise.
Your network.
Yes, my network. Whitney brought this to my attention. Discussing a Disneyland for adults. Gets a bit raunchy. This turned up.
Some kind of heaven premiered at the Sundance Film Festival. Reminds you a bit of that movie Cocoon, actually.
It looks like my sort of place.
Yeah. We need to create one on the Gold Coast, maybe.
Yeah. Can imagine Lyd giving me a good whipping. No, not like that.
Koshy. Koshy's going blue.
Very erotic. Tune in tomorrow morning for more. I'm addicted.
Now you're all caught up on the Malloy Drive Show.